Wait no longer. Greatness has arrived. Welcome to the Trophy Room, a PlayStation podcast made by the players for the players. I am your host, Joseph, a.k.a. Mr. Babbitt, and it is here where me and my best friend Kyle talk about the latest and greatest in all things PlayStation. Now, this episode, a little different. We sound a little different. We sound very tired, and that is because this is our PAX episode live from the Hotel Ramada.
That's right. I can touch Joe.
And there is the co-host, the greatest co-host who ever is, whoever will be, Mr. Kyle Stevenson. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. So this time, if you bring up Bloodborne, I can just smack you.
Well, I will, because some of these games play like Bloodborne. So yeah, we talked about this being a goal back in October, on Patreon, patreon.com/badbit. So if you like this content, please throw a dollar our way. And this, for any patron, dollar and up, or any patron prior who may have dropped, you know, their pledges. This is also for you.
Absolutely.
So, thank you all so much for getting us to PAX East. As we look to the future of the Patreon, we'll get to you news about that after this show. So with that, how we're going to talk or run this down is we're going to talk about our top five games of PAX East in no particular order, and how PlayStation backing out may or may not have impacted the show as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So yeah. With that, we have a lot to talk about, Kyle.
Yeah.
We got to talk about Final Fantasy VII.
Sure.
Got to talk about Sony, you know, pulling out of all the things.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to talk about Doom. We're going to talk about Tunic. Oh, we're going to talk about games about grandpas with bowling balls. A guy named Norman.
Hell yeah, we are.
And you know what? That's what the whole show's all about. So, Kyle, sir.
Do we want to start before we get into games?
Sure.
Since this is the PlayStation podcast,
yeah.
Let's talk about Sony not being there and how it felt.
Okay.
I think we should start there.
All right, yeah, let's start there. So yeah. Again, gang, it's 12:09 a.m. as a recording. This is going to be one lucid-ass show. Kyle,
yeah.
PlayStation just, it seems like just yesterday, announced it was coming to PAX, and then all of a sudden, they weren't going.
Not only just coming to PAX, bringing the heavy hitters.
Yeah, they're bringing The Last of Us. They're bringing
Doom. I was going to be at their booth.
Doom, Marvel, Iron Man.
Yes.
Like, they're bringing the heavy hitters here,
yeah.
And then last minute pulled all or most of it on the show floor. Some games still remained, but they were thrown on other booths,
mm-hmm.
like the Astro booth, which is where Predators was.
Yeah.
And
Discord had Doom.
Discord had Doom, and Paper Beast was kind of shafted.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, Kyle, how was it with Sony not being there?
So last year, when we went to go play Days Gone, and
yeah.
I played Control, their booth was kind of big. It took up like a, like a whole aisle,
yeah,
pretty much. And I was worried, like, what are they going to fill that space in? Just chairs?
Yeah.
Are they just going to just have an empty space?
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't feel like we were missing much.
Yeah.
There's still a ton of great stuff there.
I thought they were going to have Randy Pitchford with a sign going, why would you fuck me on this?
I mean, like, yes. Am I bummed that I didn't get to play Last of Us just
yeah.
for bragging rights?
Right.
Of course.
Yeah.
But in its place, I got to play a bunch of other really great spoiler games that my time would have been taken away from because I was waiting in line
yeah.
on PlayStation.
And the thing that sucks is people are going to take this and they're going to run with it going, well, you're just PlayStation guys, so you're going to say that Sony backing out was a smart thing to do and this, that, the other thing. But, like, honest to God, in 2 weeks, if we're sick with coronavirus, yes, they're probably in the right. We got patient zero in the back in the room with us. So, like, so I mean, shit's... Shit. Oh my God, is that one for real?
No, that would hurt.
Mike Dodger, everybody.
Platform agnostic.
Plastic.
Not
I was going to say plastic agnostic.
Like, subscribe, share, rate.
There you go. So, yeah, with PlayStation being gone, like, it sucks. Do I think it's an overreaction? No, because not because of the conference itself. They made a point. Like, there were guys with sanitizer wipes on the
yeah.
escalators. Like, people were actually listening to basic hygiene and pretending to wash their hands.
I will say, from a couple of years past, developers were not that on top of cleaning controllers.
This time and everybody headphones. Was wiping
it
was shit
pretty,
down.
They were pretty great at it.
Yep.
Hand sanitizer at every booth.
Yep.
They were on top of it.
They were on top of their game. And what Sony's really nervous about isn't the conference itself. It's the airports. Airports are going to be a cesspool. Anywhere there's a port, you're going to have risk of contamination. And when you have a virus that you don't know how it spreads, that's a big concern. You better stay home. So, I understand them pulling it out. Is it an overreaction? No. It's really a case-by-case basis. And as we see GDC, which we'll talk about on our regular show, or probably have talked about if you're listening to this at this point, it totally makes sense. They're not alone in this.
And it's not like we didn't get to play games, because we played plenty.
We got fucking shit done, Kyle. Which, honest to God, while we were doing the platform agnostic shows, which I'll look them up on iTunes, rate them 5 stars.
Like, subscribe, share!
God damn it.
I love it.
It's
like we have a producer in the room with us.
But he's just producing another show.
Exactly.
So, what was I going to say?
We were playing games.
Yeah, we were playing games. But the one thing I do want to note before we get into it is a lot more room to walk around in, because PlayStation wasn't there. They widened everything, the aisles.
So, and I think we figured out that Mixer probably got moved to occupy some space there.
Yeah. So, again, with that, let's talk about what we've been playing. Now, most of these games will be able to play on all platforms, including PlayStation. Some games are just so special to me that I want to talk about them, regardless of the platform that they're hitting. So, Kyle, take it away first.
That kind of goes with our message. We just love games, no matter what platform.
Exactly.
We're a PlayStation-focused podcast, but we love games no matter what.
Exactly, and that's what PAX is all about. Like, first off, even before we get into games, the energy is just electric. It's just people that are there, like, you know, whether it's the cosplays, whether it's the devs on stage, you know, whether it's the fans attending, it's
even
just
the good enforcers.
Yeah,
the good enforcers are great.
Yeah I mean, everybody's there for a reason. It's because they love games. So
it's even more special when you have a developer that really is so happy that you took time out of your busy schedule and played their small game.
And
they're just happy to talk about it and gush about it. It's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm not going to start with a small game. I'm going to start with a game that's coming out this May, and it's just pure fun. I'm talking about Maneater, Joe.
Oh, my God. Okay. What is Maneater?
Maneater is you play as a shark who was you were gutted from your mom by Scaly Pete. who is the world's best, like, shark hunter.
Oh, God.
And your whole goal in life is to take Scaly Pete down and enact revenge on him. The narrative is told at, like, a documentary.
It's the same voice actor that does Morty's dad.
Chris Parnell. Which I did not know was him until the What's Good Games panel. It's just straight up fun. You're a shark, you eat sea life to gain points, health points, currency. I think I didn't get to get into the upgrade stuff.
Sure.
But like, you can jump out of water and attack, take people off of boats, just like snatch them up, dive in the water, eat them.
Yeah, some of
it. Attack the boats, jet skis. You can actually go on the beach for like a minute and just eat people on the beach and jump back in the water. It's pure chaos and fun. Like, when you get higher level as a shark, like, you can unlock like electric powers or bone armor.
It's outrageous, it's stupid, but also it feels good.
Yeah,
like, looking at the gameplay, this is also it has RPG elements. Like, this is Tripwire Interactive, and Tripwire is famous for Killing Floor. Killing Floor in particular, where it's, hey, listen, let's get into the basic of what is fun.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just make something stupid, wacky, like sci-fi-esque, premise, like The Channel, and just have fun with it.
Yeah.
And that's what, like, Maneater kind of seems like to me.
I never thought watching the reveal at E3 last year at the PC Game Showcase of all places, how much fun that would actually be. I thought it would just be like kind of like a niche thing, But no, it's super fun controlling the shark and attacking boats and just doing shark things. Like, now, even the sharks have moves. Like they have a tail whip.
It's kind of cool because, like, you're in the perspective of Jaws.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like people got high one night. They entered a room. They're like, remember Jaws 4?
I never saw Let's Jaws 4. Let's
do Jaws 4 with Michael Caine.
I've never seen Jaws 4.
Well, Jaws 4, like, the shark's after him and his family.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. But it's like, you're in the perspective of that shark. Uh-huh. How does Scaly Pete.
I think. Yeah.
How does he play into it? Like, how does this, do we have, like, a vague idea of how the story works?
Well, the demo opens with Scaly Pete receiving a call on the CB radio while he's being interviewed by the documentary director.
Yeah.
And they're just like, oh, a shark sighting. And he's like, full on business, let's go. And the demo ends with him finding you, and you can't really fight back because it's overpowered. That's like how they chose to stop the demo. So I assume you'll have many run-ins with Scaly Pete until you're I think his deckhand is Kyle somebody, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just fun. It is video game fun.
Okay.
That's what it is.
And it's $40, if I'm not mistaken, as well.
Right? I don't know the price off the top of my head, but it's May 22nd of this year, PS4, Xbox, PC.
Here's the thing. Fun, stupid game, right?
Yeah.
We're going to be literally swimming in a 7 here. We're days away from Last of Us Part 2. And you're in between... I was going to say in between Avengers, but that's not even a thing anymore. No. Look how tired I am. But yeah, you're days away from Last of Us.
Yeah.
You gotta give credit where credit's due there, Scaly Pete.
Hit the shark, coward!
I'm gonna go with the next game is, you know what? I'm gonna do something a little different here.
Okay.
I feel like, I will say this, I feel like Sony screwed over some of the devs. And when reallocating where these games are going to be shown, they didn't do a good job in doing that, mm-hmm. in promoting those games. I will say that. That is one shitty thing to do. Mm-hmm. Because Predator's Hunting Ground was a fun-ass game. Mm-hmm. This is made by Ilphonic. These are the people that made Friday the 13th. And when I originally saw that game, I'm like, it's not my genre. Horror isn't usually my genre. It has to be some type of sci-fi in there. But what is the Predator. So, if you don't know what Ilphonic has done, Friday the 13th is an isometric or asymmetrical multiplayer game. Mm-hmm. Think of it like Evolved meets Friday the 13th, where you have campers who are just trying to escape out of Jason's hands. And now, with taking over the Predator role, Ilphonic has decided, hey, we're going to have different Predators. So you could be a scout predator, you could be a beefy predator from, like, Predators the movie. All the classic iterations of the Predator you're getting to play as. At the same exact time, you also play as a SWAT team who is, you know, in the jungles of, like, Colombia trying to do a mission. And you don't know that the Predator's there. Mm-hmm. And they do a fantastic job of making the Predator invisible and fucking deadly. So in this game, you also have AI you have to deal with. They're the drug lords that you're shooting,
which I like.
Yeah, and the Predator also has to be aware of these things as well. So the Predator knows that you're there. The player who's playing the Predator knows that you're there, but also has to be aware of the AI, you as well as the SEAL Team 6 member. Now, I only played as the army dudes. But I'll have to say this, being hunted by the Predator and knowing you're being hunted by the Predator is insanely scary. Mm-hmm. And how you make it out alive is you complete the objectives and escape, or you kill the Predator. And how the Predator wins is by killing everyone. And when he kills you, it is so fucking gruesome. Like, he ripped my spine and my skull out of my body.
Sweet.
And you saw all of it, and he keeps your skull on his belt.
So I'm happy that they... Oh, that's a nice little... Mm-hmm. I'm happy to hear they're keeping that Friday the Friday the 13th vibe. Because when Jason killed everyone, all their kills were super gruesome. Yeah.
And the cool thing about the Predator as well is you down an enemy first before you straight up kill him, because then you could kind of leave that person as bait. So, like, everybody has to kind of go towards them. It's really fun if you have a coordinated team. We know that people are fans of these type of games, whether it's Dead by Daylight, whether that's Friday the 13th. A lot of people like to throw Evolve in this game's face, but, like, those two games have their audience. They have people that love them. And when you're playing as a SEAL Team 6 member, I'm just saying SEAL Team because it makes more sense to me. It's modern to me. It feels good. The animation when you're shooting feels good. Doesn't feel great. This is still a $40 game. But, you know, animation's there. The fun is there. And it just sucks that not a lot of people, in my eyes, got to experience it because PlayStation literally shafted them. Mm-hmm. Now, luckily, we're going to have a free beta at the end of the month, March 27th to the 29th. But, honest to goodness, this game was a ton of fun. It looked great. It ran great. Didn't give me any hiccups. The cool thing about the Predator as well, I want to say this. Classic Predator, man, just look at the trees. Like, when it turns invisible and you're like, you see trees moving around, it's always uneasy.
Yeah.
So, again, Olfonic, cool. Predator, check him out. Kyle, what's the next game?
Question for that one, though. Did you see Invisible Predator? Like, can you see a glow around him? Or is it just, like, straight up invisible?
No. You see the glow around
him.
So, it's not, like, perfect camouflage. It's literally straight up, like, how you see him in the movie, that's how. Oh, and sweet. So, like, there's one time where I had to get this objective and I had to hold down X. And then I see the motherfucker walking near me. I was like, fuck. Come on. Come on, dude. It's man, it's a lot of fun. And nice. I can't wait. Like, I really want to play this with you.
Yeah.
In the free beta so that we could communicate. Because communication is key. And that's the only thing I fear about this game. Is it's a Bleeding Edge scenario. Where Bleeding Edge, Xbox's exclusive game, coming out in March, and it's kind of divisive. I kind of feel like this could be the same for Predators.
Yeah.
Kyle, what's the next pick?
My next pick is a game called Infernax. I'm not sure if this is coming to PlayStation. I assume so. It was demoed on a Switch. It is, think old school Castlevania.
Okay.
But the way it changes it up a little bit is you have choices, and you also can, like, go to shops and buy magic spells and equip new armor. And when you equip the armor in the game, your armor changes on the screen.
What's the art style like? So it's Castlevania.
Straight up 8-bit.
Oh, okay.
I'm very confused with the bits, right. Except for you. You're the only bit I understand.
It's a battle.
Either 8-bit or 16-bit. Okay. Just the old school Castlevania games that you remember. It looks like that. And to the point, like, the attack is like the chain. The whip thing.
Okay.
But what is really cool is you, and I hopped in after somebody was tired of dying. So, like, I didn't start at the beginning. But I was walking through the town and a boss burst through the gate, and the priest and the monks and the knights are running to save the town. I beat the boss. I got it down to half health. It fled, and then I noticed, like, it had purple blood, and it just stayed on the level. And so
you had to track this thing down.
I went to start, and it has quests, and, like, the quest is track the monster. Kill it to save the town from future or whatever. And so I followed the purple blood, which is a cool little thing, instead of just randomly going in a direction and trying to find it.
Right.
I tracked it all the way there and took it out, and it has that magic of the old school Castlevania game, of those old games, but with a modern twist on it that I really, really, really love. I think it was, and shout out to the booth. The booth was awesome.
Yeah.
I had, like, old VHS tapes just on the TV set. It reminded me, like, I'm playing an old school game.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kyle, let's talk about old school for a second here.
Okay.
Let's talk about Final Fantasy VII.
Oh, you're going right into
it. I'm going right into
it. I was going to save it.
No. Listen, we got the nice little indies out of the way. We got Maneater. We got Predators out, right?
I got one more.
I mean, we got so many.
I mean, I got one more indie in my top five.
Oh, really? Okay. Yes. Well, then let's start with this one. Because this is a game I've... Fuck if I know everything about Final Fantasy. Other than Claude's a cute little twink that I want to take a little bite out of. And so is FIFA? What's your name?
FIFA, I hate you.
FIFA 2019.
Yeah, dude, she is fucking...
What, last year's version?
Yeah. Sorry, FIFA 99. We're
not fucking good. 97. So, yeah. Tifa and Cloud, they're cute, and I wanted to mush. But other than that, I was very excited to play this game, mm-hmm. but more so watch you play this game.
Yeah.
Because... this is your childhood.
Game means a lot to me. It was my first RPG on PlayStation.
So, Kyle, here, I'm going to now direct the mic right to you, buddy.
Yeah.
Take it away.
The moment I put on the headphones, the menu music started, and every hair on my body stood up. I got goosebumps. I teared up. It is the perfect version of this game. Or perfect... let me take that back, because I still love the old school game. Sure. It is what I think the remake should be, mm-hmm. and I'm happy to report that it plays exactly like I hoped it would. It is fast-paced. It does take a little getting used to, mm-hmm. Not stopping every single time to do every single action, even though you can do that. But swapping between Barret and Cloud was awesome, using mm-hmm. Barret to hit... this, by the way, this is the boss fight that you've seen in the E3 demo. Yeah. It's the Scorpion boss. So when the Scorpion boss goes on the wall...
They toss you, like, they're like, here's a few mobs.
Yeah.
Here's a chest. Look around. Who gives a shit? Right to the Scorpion thing.
That makes me so angry. Of course you look around, Joe. That's... Oh.
You know what this reminded me of? RE2 remake, when you're right about to fight Mr. X.
Sure.
That's what it reminded me of. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, like, switching between characters is as simple up and down on the D-pad.
Sure.
Barret obviously hit the long range with his gun arm, and yep. Cloud is more of the straight up in your face. They do a Kingdom Hearts move where they do shortcuts for mm-hmm. all the powerful moves, which I got into a real great rhythm of staggering the Scorpion tank boss, which is a mechanic from Final Fantasy 13, which yeah. a lot of people don't like, but that mechanic is awesome. And when you stagger, it allows more damage to happen. And so I would stagger up with Barret and then switch to Cloud immediately, use the shortcuts to do his big attacks like Braver,
yeah.
which is weird that it's not a limit break, but it's whatever. And limit breaks, I'm so happy I got to experience both of them because yeah. they were cool. So cool.
Yeah.
I'm in love with the music's awesome. The voice acting is incredible.
Yes. And because, like, I'm going to stop you here yeah. right for just a second. So far, so good.
Yeah.
Like, Barret is very much a cliche black dude of the 90s. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the one thing I'm not a fan of, but whatever. Just, I'm the SJW, I guess. I don't know. I'm the worst. But, like, Cloud's voice acting, fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, I forgot that these characters were in voice. Mm-hmm. You know? Like, that's something I...
besides the movie. Yeah. But, like...
Yeah. There was a movie, right?
Yeah. Advent Children.
Advent Children?
Yeah.
Square Enix.
It's pretty dope.
Oh, is it? Really? Okay, cool.
But, like, the way they were voiced, specifically Cloud and Barret, because that's all we played with in the demo. Yeah. I really dug their tone. I love the relationship, because... Barret doesn't trust Cloud because mm-hmm. I don't want to spoil things for Joe.
Yeah, I have no idea what's going on.
There's a reason why he doesn't trust Cloud and why Cloud is so not willing to participate fully,
yeah.
completely yet.
Yeah, so. he's giving me Han Solo vibes.
Yeah.
That makes me kind of just love him even more.
But, like, from a level design, like, knowing what that level is in the original game.
Right.
And seeing it realized in full 3D.
Yeah.
It just breaks my brain that it's happening. Like, yeah. I saw the...
and that
I
feels saw the so E3 natural trailer
how many years ago?
I have no idea. At this, like, point. Oh, 2016. Yeah.
It's... oh, man.
Yeah. Man. As a person that's never played Final Fantasy VII, and this is my first foray into it, it is weird.
Yeah.
It is a mixture, though I do think... I forget who I was saying this to, but it felt exactly what I feel like when people talk about Final Fantasy, it being that turn-based style meets what Kingdom Hearts is with that action adventure feel to it, that hack and slash feel to it. It feels like the perfect combination of both worlds. It feels like what Final Fantasy 15 was trying to be, but to me, failed it. As someone who played it at launch, I heard it got better. But like, to me, the more I think about Final Fantasy 7, the more I like it. The problem is the booth I was in, the headphones were broken.
Headphones were a little loud.
Dude, I couldn't hear fucking jack all. Like, it hurt to listen to.
It was a little loud.
But beautiful either way. Yeah. And yeah, the boss fight was a lot of fun. So like, it's up there on my list.
I do agree with something you also said to me.
Go for it.
For newcomers, it's a weird spot to just throw you into the demo.
Yes.
It would have been nice to have it, maybe that whole section instead of just the tail end of that journey. Yeah.
Like, here's literally three mobs tops.
Yeah.
I would like to just have 5 more minutes of getting accustomed to the gameplay, because it is weird to get into, especially if you're first timers. So like, the demo was weird. It's kind of like when everybody walked out of that Animal Crossing booth, but not as harsh of, yeah, no, that was a bad demo.
Yeah.
But like, because I don't know what I'm doing here, but
yeah,
I'm still on board. This was a good demo, and I'm very much on board. Yeah. I have the special edition pre-ordered through Amazon. Maybe they actually deliver this time. I'm on board.
Yeah. April cannot come fast
enough. April 10th, right?
I believe so.
All right, let's go into the next.
Me. That's right.
Yeah.
Because that's both on our top five.
That's right.
I'm gonna talk about the last indie.
Okay.
A game that doesn't even have a dedicated platform yet. It's a game called Season by Scavenger Studio, which made the game The Darwin Project, which I've talked about on the show many times. It's a game that I was jealous Xbox had. It was like the Hunger Games multiplayer thing. Yeah. This game could not be any further from that.
Yeah. Like when we were just talking about it before, it feels like an Annapurna game.
Yes.
Rather than what, you know, Darwin Project kind of looked like, this goofier looking take on like a Fortnite-esque art style.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The dev told me, and I should have got her name, but I'm a big dum-dum. I'm tired. The studio's message is they want to take gaming further. Mm-hmm. They don't want gaming to stagnate. They want to make it a better experience and push the boundaries of what gaming can be, specifically in the narrative department.
Yeah.
So the game is all about a boy from this village who are viewed as like watchers, like think watchers like in the Marvel universe.
Yeah.
Who just like watch things that are happening and record them for history's sake. And the world is going through like a cataclysmic event where things are happening, and so you are sent to go preserve humanity, pretty much. And the way you do that is you go through the town, you meet people to talk to. Let's say you walk up to a lake, and you have three options to put in the journal that will be placed in a time capsule. You can either draw the lake, you can either describe what the smell is like, you could draw a picture of it, whatever you choose. And you do that multiple different times. And the way a friend of ours put it when he told us about this game was, it's so important for you to put what you think is most important for humanity and what you believe should be preserved in case something goes wrong. It's heavy. It's beautiful. I love the choices. No one's going to have this exact same playthrough.
It's kind of morbid in the sense of like, you are picking what is the last thing you will remember.
Because spoiler alert, like, you can't stop whatever's happening. You're just there to make sure the history is saved and people know about what's going on. The traditions, the culture of the area.
And it's kind of like a little like take on life itself.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you taking out of these fleeting moments that are passing you? Are you listening to two douchebags talk about video games? Are you interacting with it in your car?
Are you rating it 5 stars? Are you enjoying life?
I mean, you could also enjoy life. Well, listening
to you can do demos. Both. You can go enjoy life and have us in your ears.
There was one moment, though, where we talked about it on the Platform Agnostic podcast, and that is that At the end, it chooses. You get to choose if you want to pray with this monk.
So it was. It's just another choice like you've had previously, but you find this monk who's kind of given up because everyone's moved on. No one is praying anymore because there's nothing to do. It's going to happen anyway. And he asks you, do you want to pray with him? And you can choose either yes, or you can be the watcher and abstain and just watch the process. I chose to pray with him or take part in the ritual. And then he says, would you like to say the prayer with me? And the options were yes or no, but I'm going to record it and preserve it. And I chose record because I think that's, if I was in that position and that's my job, that's what I would do. I would preserve the prayer. Yeah. And so he said to me, well, it's stronger if two people do it, but I understand and I want to make sure this prayer lives on. And it's so beautiful. It's heavy for sure, but it's, I think, exactly the type of narrative game that I want to play. Yeah. I want to see where this goes. I want to see all the different options for humanity. And like, they gave us a questionnaire afterwards of like, since they were so early, this idea was last September. And they already have a demo out now, which
it's already at PAX, and it's already impactful.
And they're already being talked to by all the big big people, big three. Like, it's insane. Mm-hmm. But I put, like, what other types of recordings would you like to put in the journal? And I put, it would be cool to do, like, a little video clip of, like, the surrounding, like, some naturescapes or just other ways to preserve humanity. It's just, it's great. Season, Scavenger Studio. It's super early. I don't know when you'll be able to
real talk for it, a but... second. This is when I start derailing the show. In the first grade, we had a time capsule we put.
Did you ever write a letter to yourself and then open up at the end of the first grade?
I think I did.
Yeah, I did too.
Guess what? You did that.
I did it multiple times.
We never like. I think they opened it when I was in high school.
Oh, okay.
I wonder if they're just like, who the fuck are the Backstreet Boys? You know,
I remember. I think in my fourth grade one, because it was an assignment, Mike. I didn't do it out of hobby.
Okay.
I wrote
schools for losers.
Like, shut the fuck up. I never derailed your show.
I wrote to myself, I'm going to meet a famous person. And nope, didn't meet a famous person at all in fourth grade.
In the fourth grade.
Okay. That's what I meant. Yeah.
I wonder if, like, people have actually kept up with their pen pals. Remember you get a pen pal?
I do remember pen pals.
My pen pal was a bully.
Was a bully?
No. I think there was one where we had to, like, talk to prisoners or something. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
As like,
elementary school children?
I think so. Joe. He's like, my name's Jeff. I did drugs. Don't do drugs.
Oh, like a scared straight program almost?
Yeah, but like it was a pen pal. But like these prisoners really enjoyed like writing and getting their creative vision out.
Oh, I bet your mom had to sign like a permission slip.
It was the 90s. It was a simpler time back then. Remember, Bill Clinton was president. Like so much, you know. God, Will Ferrell was on SNL.
That's fair.
You know? Anyway, please write into the show. If you had a prisoner pen pal who did drugs.
Please send in your first grade letter to at PS Trigger.
Yes, if you still have
that'd
it.
Be dope.
If it's in your mom's drawer somewhere. The next game that I played is another game that got shafted by PlayStation. That's Paper Beast.
A game... listeners of the show that Joe shot on.
It
happened on State of Play. He was like, this looks stupid.
This looks stupid. And the funny thing is, I hated it for the reason why I love it. So, this is made by Pixel Reef. Eric Chahai. I'm sorry, it's a French name. I'm bad at pronunciation as it is. Beautiful. Like, this is something else, man. It goes to show the love that Sony has for the PSVR platform, because this is a PSVR game, and this is where you're just walking around. It's kind of like a walking sim in a way. You get to traverse through all parts of the level by teleporting. It kind of goes to show how far like PlayStation and VR has gone, because the teleporting portions don't make you sick. Turning with the move controller by pressing like square or X never feels disorienting. It felt like I was at peace. The wind, the environmental, atmospheric design of the sound made it freaking beautiful. Mm-hmm. And again, like, you run into this huge bulking beast that looks like something out of 2015's Game of the Year, Bloodborne, that we haven't seen a sequel since 1,803 days.
That was me slapping Joe.
A beast like that, but paper mache. And it's guiding you through the whole tutorial in the first chapter. It gives you the ability to teleport as well. You literally pick this little red thing out of its eye, and you put it on your controller. And it's just guiding you through, and it shows you what this world's all about. And you're feeding a dumb little paper mache deer a fruit, and then you're guiding that little thing along the path as well. And then you meet a predator that eats it, which shows that there's a whole entire ecosystem to this game. And then there's storm effects that happen because it's all sand and whatnot. It's all also high polygon art, and it uses the limitations of VR with draw distance to its using it as a strength, where you feel like you're in a sandstorm because it sounds like you're in a sandstorm, it looks like you're in a sandstorm, and this little creature that's helped you throughout the whole way tells you to go into this cave because you're about to get swept away, and there's this vortex that's swallowing the whole map hole, and it sacrifices itself to save you. Mm-hmm. And like, you gain this connection through this dumb little 10-minute demo that I absolutely was floored with, and I was emotional with it. And I forgot I was at PAX, which is weird. There's also like this level design portion which puts you in God mode, and you can have the beasts fight each other, like plotted out. You can like literally change the day to night. You could change the whole environment to scale to the way you like it, and how you pinch in and out to zoom in and out. Beautiful, awesome. This game comes out, he said, 1 to 2 months, so he doesn't have a firm date himself, but definitely take a look at it. It's something else.
That's great. It's awesome.
Yeah,
I love you playing games that make you emotional.
Yeah, man.
That means the game is working.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, when that's the core mechanic, is to make you feel something. Mm-hmm. Those things have to feel genuine, and they can't feel forced.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
It worked to a team.
Absolutely.
Kyle, what's the next game on your list, buddy?
I don't know if this is also your last game in the top five, mm-hmm. but... Tag, Mike, we need you. Fuser. Fuser is Harmonix's new game. Mm-hmm. I was just talking about, I don't know if it was here or one of the other shows I was on.
Sure.
But I miss rhythm.
Right.
Music rhythm games so bad.
So before we tag Mike in here, and yes, he does a way better job of describing it because he's a musician himself. Fuser is a game we didn't know about until
Wednesday,
right before PAX.
Yeah.
This is Harmonix's attempt at being a DJ.
Yeah.
You're getting to play
Drop
with...
Mix. They're taking the Drop Mix card game, yep, and putting it in video game form where you are mixing songs. Each song has 4 tracks on it. Vocals, drums, bass, synth, whatever makes the song. And you have to pick the tracks, drop them on beat for the most points. Yep. And you get the typical 5 stars like Rock Band. There's cool stuff like the crowd will request songs, mm-hmm, and you have to make sure you pick the right songs to get that score up higher. I think that's how you do multiplayer multiplier to keep that going. Star power is there in some form where you click it and the song gets like you. The typical DJ song where you feel the beat is about to drop.
Yeah, and then when the beat drops, feel like it drops, you add another track in and the crowd goes wild.
No.
Right?
No. What happens is the beat drops, uh-huh, and it's a perfect new mix song.
Oh, right. I'm an idiot.
Brand new tracks there. It's a perfect beat and it makes the crowd go nuts.
Yes.
It's so good to have a Harmonix rhythm game again.
It's also the most accessible game that I played on the show floor, where as you're standing in line, they're just like, hey, if you're colorblind, let us know, because we'll fix that for you. Not your colorblindness, you're still gonna be colorblind. That sucks. The demo itself they'll change the colors for you.
Also, no peripheral needed.
Exactly. Don't worry about that. You use your controller, and with that,
hey, tag,
let's do this. Mike, explain what you're doing as you're dropping the beat and how it all works.
So, I want to talk about the tech behind this game.
Okay,
because it absolutely fascinates me. So, yeah, like Kyle just mentioned, I almost combined both of our names. Jesus, it's definitely almost one in the morning. It is. As Kyle mentioned, you are dropping different elements of the song. The first track is the backbeat, which is, you know, typically a drum, a beat, you know, a kick drum, kick and snare, whatever it may be. Don't worry, audio engineer over here. Don't worry.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You know, fucking get the fuck out of here. the first track represents the backbeat or the drums. To me, that's the more simple part of the tech. I'm assuming, granted, we didn't have a chance to really delve into this, and once I get the game, I really want to, like, break this thing down.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that's what sets up the tempo of your mix.
Okay.
The more fascinating part is the actual transpositions between key changes and matching keys between different songs, because obviously not every song on the planet or every song on this set list is going to be in the same key, as in like a C major scale or anything like that.
Right.
Bad Guy and All Star and Don't Fear the Reaper and Lady Gaga are all very, very different songs with very different styles and very different keys, major, minor, just different tonalities in general. This game somehow seamlessly transposes all the elements for it to match perfectly.
Yeah,
that's a lot of work.
Yeah, and it feels like no matter what you're doing, and the cool thing about this game is, no matter what you're doing, like, you could be an idiot like me, or you could be a professional like you, the music's always gonna sound good. Like, you could put three vocal tracks in there, and somehow it's gonna make sense.
Yeah, I want to talk about that also, because I tested this a lot. I should have pushed it and did four vocal tracks, but so I had drums. And then I keep forgetting the which vocal tracks particularly, but I think I did Imagine Dragons, Thunder, who I goddamn hate, LMFAO's Party Rock, and All Star, of course, it was All Star. So, selecting the three vocal tracks, you would think, like, this game's not going to be smart enough to kind of, like, separate or make it sound good.
It's going to sound like they're singing over each other.
And it's three separate songs playing. But I had the backbeat going. And again, all these got transposed into the same key. I had in from the Magic Dragons and Thunder. There's the back thunder that was going on, acting as kind of like a shaker, a synth kind of like sound. From All Star, it took the whistles.
Wow.
And from Party Rock, it took the main vocal. So it all filled out into an incredible sounding mix. And again, the tech just fucking blows me away.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's harmonics. They've been doing this. They're the best in the business when it comes to music games and music tech. I was telling Kyle the other day that they are, like, low-key pioneers in audio engineering and post-production education. Because all those games, obviously, like, when you mess up a snare, like, you hear the sound of the snare missing. So, all those tracks are available online. I used a lot of those tracks to, like, practice mixing while I was, like, learning this stuff.
That's awesome.
So, like, they know what they're doing, and this is just taking that Rock Band, like, formula to the next level.
Thank you, Mike.
I love you. Hey. Yeah. Hey, Platform Agnostic. Like, subscribe, share, at Platinum Agnostic.
There you go. Yeah.
You know what else is awesome about this game?
What's that?
You feel cool.
You feel fucking badass, my dude.
I never got a fail state. It never told me, hey, you're fucking up. The audience will tell you, hey, I want to listen to 70s, and you'll play 70s-esque music. They want to say, I want punk, you give them fucking punk. You want to switch it up to rock, you do. And no matter what, it still sounds good, and it's still, like, the crowd is still driving with you, whether you're getting a 1-star or a 5-star. And that's the best about this game.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
2020... fall holiday, 2020. Can't wait.
With that, it gets to my last game.
Sure.
That is Doom Eternal, man. Oh my goodness, Kyle. This is the first game that I got to play. We waited in Discord, in the Discord line to get to this game. Mm-hmm. And as a person who has played the first Doom 2016, I'm going to be honest with you. I never finished it. I don't know what happened, but just somewhere along the lines, I just never finished this game. Mm-hmm. This, you know, we had Alan on the show. There it is. We had Alan on the show talking about what sets this Doom apart from the predecessor. And really what it comes down to is that the guns feel good, right? You get upgrades to these guns. So, like, let's just say you have a shotgun. You have an upgrade mod now to it that turns it into also a machine gun shotgun, mm-hmm. or a rocket launcher attachment to it. And all of it makes for a visceral just combat, while at the same exact time still giving you, you know, your machine guns, your rocket launchers, and all types of shit to just blow up enemies. At the same exact time, you know, you still get your assassinations. But when you're assassinating enemies, when they're glowing, you get fuel for your chainsaw. And that's what's giving you ammo to continue ripping and tearing through the Hounds of Hell. And my God, it feels so good. So there's always this balance you have to do between combat of, hey, I need to assassinate this person so I get some energy so that I can chainsaw this person so that I have more ammo for my shotgun so I can blow this guy sky high. And there's this big megalodon looking son of a bitch. I need rockets for that, so I'm going to switch to my rocket launcher. Then all of that at the same exact time, they're like, and the level is going to be ginormous. Mm-hmm. This is a jump from Uncharted 3, where it's very linear, to Uncharted 4, the Madagascar map, where it's go explore. Yeah. It's a lot wider. Do what you want with it. That's what Doom 2020 feels like. The map actually has a lot of platforming elements to it. So your entry into this new type of map landscape is you get to this portion of the map where you're actually sliding, and you're shooting enemies while you're sliding. And then you see a yellow pole. You jump on the yellow pole, grab it, leap down into a just crater full of enemies. Mm-hmm. And then you just stomp on one demon's fucking neck. And that's where the fun begins. It really is. Even on easy, because I tried to just want to like really get through the level, there is a balance you have to have between the combat to make sure that you're making it out alive. Uh-huh. It's never just an easy process. I love this game. Absolutely adored it. It is my game of the show.
You mentioned the bar was yellow.
Yes.
Is that going to be like it? The Uncharted,
yeah,
Dog that's yellow
definitely,
type thing?
Yeah, that's definitely... God, you could tell when we ran out of gas here. Yeah, that's the Naughty Dog yellow where, hey, go climb on this thing.
That's where you can interact.
Yeah, where you're interacting with things. This is my game of the show, man. Like, it's not even coming close. It makes you feel powerful right off the gate. It makes you feel... Just the intro alone, where it's like, Earth has fallen.
Yeah.
It tells you the population is that currently the population is 38%. Mm-hmm. You are the last beacon of hope. We send one man, you, rip and tear until the end. And then, bam, heavy metal music. It's like, fuck me right up. And when you look at the landscape, it is what you think Doom and Hell on Earth would be if it was Hell on Earth. Like, it looks dystopian. It looks like the future. It looks like everything you wanted out of a Doom on Earth scenario. Mm-hmm. It, man, it slaps so hard, yeah. Kyle.
I'm happy you got to play it.
Yeah, I've never been so high on this game.
Yeah.
Until Alan recommended it, and I totally understand what he's saying. I sound like a crazy person because you're probably listening to this and going, wow, Joe is incoherent. Man, this just sounds like more 2016. It is, but it isn't. And I understand that there's no map editor. Trust me, when you see this game, you're going to understand why. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of intricacies. There's a lot of, hey, we're going to tell you where you could go, but trust me, there's more stuff to do on the side as well. So, Doom 2020, man. March 20th. A lot of 20s. So on board for this. Yeah. Any honorable mentions, Kyle?
Sure. I played a game called Knuckle Sandwich.
Okay.
Which I
and really also really with love. These like Twitter, you know, posts.
About I gotcha. It's a turn-based RPG. Mm-hmm. Where in order to do any attack or ability, you have to complete a WarioWare minigame.
Cute.
Very cute. Art style is very, very cool. It's a mix between like Undertale and Saturday Morning RPG.
Cool.
Love that game. That was great. I'm going to talk about Norman's Night Inn, the game you teased before. Yeah. Norman's Night Inn is a game that's out right now on Steam and iOS. Okay. An old man wakes up. And he thought, you know what? I haven't had in 10 years.
What's that?
A bowling ball. And he goes by and he buys a bowling ball, and it is a Metroidvania like puzzle platformer, where you make the bowling ball move away from Norman, and then once you let go, the bowling ball comes rocketing back towards him and knocks him in the direction you're going.
Poor fucking Norman.
So you need to use the ball to get Norman up the different levels of platforming. It's really fun. It's great to rewire your brain and think of a platformer in a different way. I'll leave that the other one for you.
Okay.
Red Lantern, the dog sledding game that's on Switch. It's basically like kind of like on rails, but you get to decide go right, left, hunt. You can camp whenever you want. You can pet all the dogs.
You just want me with this game.
It's really cool. It's a survival game. So like if the dogs run out of stamina, game over. If you run out of, if your hunger goes all the way down, it's game over. Like you got to make sure you.
This game was extremely popular in the indie mega booth.
Yes.
Like, there was lines out the door. And it looked beautiful. It looked gorgeous. Yeah.
Played Animal Crossing. Demo wasn't that great. No. I'll just leave it at that.
First off, I'm still excited for it. Tom Nook is a fucking crook. Okay? Tom, answer the hard questions, okay? Why were you in support of Stop and Frisk? He won't answer it at all.
Coward. It was a multiplayer demo. Not a great way to show somebody, me, who's never played that game before.
Yeah.
And then the last two I'll talk about is... A Fold Apart, which is a game about two lovers, partners who are in a long distance relationship, and in order to be together, you have to fold paper to solve puzzles to get them together so they can interact.
Cool.
Super cute game. And the last one, I'll just mention, I played Destroy All Humans and SpongeBob. Definitely PS2 games. But if you're into that, you're going to have a great time. If you're fans of those properties, you're going to have a great time. Joe is just being harsh on it for no reason.
I'm not. I'm just tired of the fake hype. That's all I'm
doing. It's not fake hype.
I don't know why anybody would be excited.
Mr., I've never played Punch-Out before.
I never played Punch-Out.
How dare you?
I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I host the PlayStation podcast. Oh, by the Players for the Warriors. I'm sorry about that. I'm going to give a few more shout-outs. One, Disintegration. Why? I know we talked about it on the show previously, but I got to find out more about the single player. Ironically, like I got an in-house media thing invite where they're talking about the story here, and I can talk about it. Don't worry about it. Andy House isn't gonna knock on my door. It's a global pandemic wipes out humanity. Is it ringing a bell so far? And pretty much as a last-ditch effort, humanity creates the integration project, where they integrate your brain, they put you in a robot. It's a dope idea right off the bat, and you're trying to solve the cure so that you can bring humanity back, but there's an organization that wants to keep integrating. Mm-hmm. They see this as the next form of humanity. And that it's humanity will be just robotic Cybertron for the most part. This story has me hooked. I am very much looking forward to this game. I know we've had some issues with the multiplayer. It's still rough around some edges, but the single player combat scenarios that I've seen so far really have me intrigued. The next game is Forgone. This one.
Yeah, that's the one I left for you.
Imagine a straight-to-the-point Dead Cells, where it's not roguelike, but the combat is still fast, fluid. It feels really great to hack and slash. It's in early access right now on the Epic Game Store. But it is coming to other consoles sometime next year. And just because it has that, you know, Dead Cells-esque combat that I love so much, that quick dodging in and out of combat. And also with this one, you have range and melee that you get to eviscerate your foes with. Totally on board with Foregone. And then our friends over at Wraith Games, Collapsus, where, listen, I'm not a puzzle guy. You know me. I'm a big dumb idiot, folks. I love my Bejeweled. I love my Tetris. And that's where it kind of ends with me. But Collapsus got me in. It's going to be literally on any platform you can imagine. And it is like Bejeweled in a sense where you're trying to match four or more colored jewels together to create, you know, to get more points. Mm-hmm. But this time you only have a set amount of moves you can make. And how you get more moves is you match five or more cubes together. So essentially what you're doing is instead of switching cubes around like in Bejeweled, you're collapsing jewels. You're actually destroying them and then making the other ones on top or on the sides collapse into each other. It's awesome. It uses gyroscopes, so you're, you know, if you see a pattern that you can collapse but you need to be in a widescreen, you know, perspective, you use a gyroscope, bam, it'll fall diagonally. Super cool, super unique. I really dug it. And the guy said that they've been working on this game since 2005. Damn. And I played this on a Fire tab and it ran smooth. This is one of those games, it's a toilet game. Mm-hmm. You're sitting on the toilet, you're playing this for like 10 minutes, and you forget. You know what I mean? And then your legs asleep. So like that's what this game is for me. I can't wait to pick it up on literally all the platforms imaginable. Mm-hmm. I was surprised at how much I dug that game. And then, let's see. I also played Destroy All Humans.
Woo!
Cool. With that, Kyle, let's end it with your game of the show. What was it?
It's a toss-up between Final Fantasy VII Remake and Fuser, but I'm giving it to Fuser. Okay. Just because it took us all by surprise, and I didn't realize how much I still needed a music rhythm game in my life until I played it. And now I can hear the mixes in my head. I can see the thing. I'm into it.
The cool thing about the Fuser booth, too, because they are playing the same song technically.
Best booth at PAX.
Yeah. They're like, dude, first and foremost, we're going to talk about our favorite moments at PAX in just a sec, but you pass by the booth, you never heard the same song. Like, you heard the same lyrics, for sure, but, like, different
patterns. Yeah, because the harmonic staff were DJing, and they were playing the game on stage.
And with that,
fireworks and sparklers.
Kyle, my first moment of PAX.
Yeah.
My honorable memories. The THQ booth and the Harmonix booth at some point had an alliance with each other. Mm-hmm. Where the Destroy All Human Aliens would, in a conga line, march on over to the Harmonix booth and start becoming the DJs and start dancing on the booth. And one alien walked up to me, of course, straight face because it's a mask, and raised the roof. And then all of a sudden, I was like, this might be the game of the generation.
It brings together other species.
It brings together different fucking life forms, all of our species.
That's awesome.
Oh, God. What was one of your highlights?
I finally met Xavier Woods.
Yeah.
Which was awesome. We got to talk to him for a little bit.
You got tips on how to be corrupt?
No. No tips. I'm not corrupt, and neither is he.
Whoa, okay.
Yeah, he's super awesome, dude. I'm glad I finally got to talk to him, because I've been a fan of his forever. I was at the IGN up, down video game tournament back at Comic-Con a couple years ago. He's just awesome. Yeah. It was great to see him. Wished him well on his rehab because he's injured right now. It was great.
My other highlight of this show, definitely meeting the Iron Lords in real life.
Yeah, that was great.
In person. And they are just all perfect human beings. It's funny because we'd always run into each other completely by accident. Like, I was going to try to find you at the day zero of PAX, and I just bumped into Cognito, and he wasn't wearing glasses, so I was like, is that Cognito? He just looks at me, he's like, Lord Badman! I'm like, my man. Awesome to see all the crew there. They work their fucking asses off, man. Mm-hmm. Like, seriously, like, every tweet is like, we met famous person A. We met famous person B. I was like, holy shit, respect the hustle,
they
have,
they interviewed the Wonderful 101 team, right?
And that's awesome. They didn't get blocked on Twitter afterwards.
That's great.
So, that's awesome. Mean, that's something. What about, what's another memory for you? I know. Real talk, guys. The last 4 days, 3 days, have been a blur because 8 years.
It's not a blur. I'm just wondering, like, are you going to, do you have another one? Or can I say two?
Say two right now.
All right. I got in line. I got autographs from the Final Fantasy VII voice actors.
Mm-hmm.
You might say, like, oh, not a big deal. But, like, they were super nice. Right. This game means a lot to me. I got a little good. I got a moment with each one of them, which was awesome. Like, the person who voiced Biggs is Fergus in Wolfenstein. And I told him how much I loved him in that. And he was like, oh, thank you so much. I forgot about that. I love just cursing and yelling fuck for 2 hours in a booth. which was awesome. And then, Erica Lindbeck, who plays Jesse, is the voice of Futaba.
Yeah.
I can't even say that word right now.
Sure.
In Persona 5, as well as, like, I told her, I can't believe I'm going to tell my nieces that I met the voice of Barbie, because she is the voice of Barbie to this day. I met Brianna White, who is the voice of Aerith. Who I've been subscribed to her YouTube channel for years.
Oh, she's a YouTuber.
Yeah, and this is her first voice acting role, and she is in such a iconic role.
Yeah.
And I got to tell her how proud I am of her doing this. It's awesome. And then I didn't get to meet Barrett. He had to leave early. Speaking of which, I didn't tell you this.
What's that?
Just real quick. He left Boston during the signing.
Okay.
He's flying to Japan. Because there was supposed to be a Final Fantasy VII party in Japan, but they canceled it.
Yeah.
But he didn't want to cancel the ticket. And guess what he's doing afterwards?
What's that?
He's flying back here tomorrow to do the signing. So he's flying to Japan.
Oh, boy.
Flying back. He's a madman.
He's a madman.
He's dedicated. I love him for that. And then I met Britt Baron, who's the voice of Tifa, and said how much I loved her in Glow. She plays Justine, and got her to do a little message for one of my friends. Like, it is... It was such a wholesome moment. They're so unbelievably talented.
Mm-hmm.
It was definitely a highlight of my last day at PAX. I'm happy to end it like on a super high note like that.
To me, a lot of it was meeting people. Like meeting people.
That was my other one. Right? Like I met so many people. Shellshock.
Yeah.
People that I have only see here or barely see at all.
Like we met our guest Derek from SDGC.
Yep.
Saw their panel, was fantastic.
Yep.
Reb Valentine, she's a sweet, like, so fucking sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And she has a memory of, I don't know, like...
A steel trap. One?
There you go. Yeah. Because, like, she saw me, she's like, Joe, and I'm like, you know who I am. That's ridiculous. You know? It was really meeting all the cool folks there. All the brilliant cosplays as well. Like, a lot of Apex Legends.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a Wraith, looked dope. Saw a Lifeline, dope. Mirage, also dope. There was a Revenant there who looked like he was in the fucking game.
Yeah.
He scared me, and I did not get to see him. I saw him in a promotional pick, but like, yeah. And also, you know
I
what?
Saw a Higgs. I didn't see any Porter Bridges. I saw a Higgs.
I saw a lot of Higgs because he was a cooler character. One more thing. I know it. Saw The Mandalorian. Didn't kill me. Thought that was dope. That's pretty much it. Other than, like, making an ass of myself to the Dead Cells crew, because I literally just walked up to them. I'm like, you don't understand. Like, I love your game. I turned, like, it's literally my most played game on the Switch. I love it so much. You're amazing, and I love you. Kiss me? What? Shut up. Stupid. Just do it. But yeah, it was... This PAX was awesome.
Yeah.
Again, just meeting everybody.
As tired and in pain my legs feel, it was all worth it.
Yeah. Seriously, it really was. So, with that, that's been the Trophy Room at PAX, man. Really awesome games to look forward to. All of which, like, I mean, on my top five, I don't know about yours, but to me, they're all must-buys. They're fantastic.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, you know what? Number one moment on PAX. Here you go. First off, shout out to our great bitter rival Nintendo, who screwed us over decades in the past to then have one of the best, the best booth. The Animal Crossing booth was nuts.
It was a good booth.
It was a fucking nuts.
Yeah.
And to see, like, Tom Nook, people, when KK, I've never played Animal Crossing, guys. I'm not going to pretend like I'm a fan here. But, like, when KK Slider, a man who's obviously in a costume, came out, I thought panties were going to be fucking throwing at him. I texted Nintendo Guru after I saw this. I'm like, you're not going to believe it. And Bobby said something along the lines of, like, yeah, no, people lose their shit when they see KK Slider.
He's like, the dog, right?
He's a dog with a banjo.
Okay.
He's like the Nirvana of fucking Animal Crossing. I don't know why.
Yeah, that
before we end the show, I have to super cool. Every time I see KK Slider, for some reason, I think of Nirvana. And I think it's just like, you go, come as you were.
You need to sleep. As I was there, you.
And it's like, wake up!
Not even the same.
But yeah, that booth was nuts. And getting the pin. Again, I don't care about Animal Crossing, but friend of the show, Raiba, who has helped us, helped me out countless times, helped other awesome creators that partnered and friends with, helping him out for the first time, able to help him out and to say thank you. Mm-hmm. The only way I know how is, like, waiting on a 30-minute line for 200-plus people, like, in front of me to just get him this little pin. Man, that was awesome. Because it felt different. It was just like, no, I'm not doing this for me. I'm doing this for Raiba.
You had a quest.
I had a quest, and I fulfilled it. Yeah. So, there you go. Again, that's been the Trophy Room at PAX. Again, thank you everybody for supporting the show the way you guys have. The last few months have been nuts. Like, I've talked to Kyle many a times about it. It's just, it's crazy to see where we're going. It's crazy to see so many of you all support us. And yeah, this show is exclusive for patrons. The dollar tier and up, we will throw it on the regular feed attached to the latest show. So if you're not a patron, you still get it, not locked behind a paywall. Just patrons get it first at patreon.com/badbit. You help the show grow. And again, the next step of Badbit is something that I'm going to be really happy to share with you, but when I'm actually conscious and not this sleepy. So
it's a good call.
Yeah. We'll probably announce something mid-March of our next plans for the Trophy Room and PlayStation podcast, which I'm very excited about. So with all that said, and with all that out of the way, everybody, keep your wits about you. Keep playing PlayStation. No, keep hunting. Keep playing PlayStation. And have a nice one.